There we are. How about that?
It's working.
It's working.
It's working.
It's the Anakin meme. Oh, the pod racer.
Oh yeah.
It's working. Let me start the movie. What's up, everybody?
Yeah.
We're gonna be, you know, I'm assuming we're gonna be doing the other Frankenstein when it comes out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you bet your ass.
Yeah.
And we'll probably touch on The Bride too.
Yeah, but we're ramping up
on The Bride.
Hey.
Somebody's Bride.
Tonight,
we're very Frankensteinish people, okay?
That is true. I've been called that many times.
Yeah.
But tonight we are watching Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the 90s interpretation of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's really just Ken Branagh's Frankenstein.
Yeah. I
like it.
Yeah, I like it, but at the same time, it is a ham and cheese sandwich with nothing on it, on white bread. I feel like it's just fucking...
You know what? I would argue.
All right.
I'll go with your sandwich
metaphor. Not that a ham and cheese sandwich is bad.
No. I'm going to go with your sandwich metaphor. Okay. It is really just like amazing top tier ham. Like we're in Boar's Head territory.
Right? Yeah.
Great cheese, like superb stone ground mustard.
You're not like, pulling plastic wrap off the cheese.
Yeah. No. And the mustard is like, mwah, like just top tier. It's on Wonder Bread.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, not to, because it is good.
It's overindulgent is what it is. But then it's missing that thing to make it complete.
Yeah. That kind of just, you know, it's missing, you know, in terms of the Big Lebowski, the Oriental rug to pull the room together, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, everything like is beautifully shot. Like as far as the acting top tier, I will say Kenneth Branagh got on my fucking nerves in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There is a couple of scenes where, like, you know, normally, like, he's a pretty good actor. Like, he's fucking...
He's a very good actor.
You know, fucking Shakespearean and all that.
He's a good director.
Yeah. But there is one scene in this movie where I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Is it when he first brings the monster to life? He's in the lab, and he's just like... He's like the Darth Vader, like, no! From fucking... episode 3.
So the monster has come to life, and then they're like slip sliding in the embryonic fluid.
Yeah.
And then it gets like wrapped up in the chains and hoisted.
Yes,
and
that's what it was.
And then he goes, no!
Yeah, like
because he realizes, oh, I fucked up. Like I did exactly what my mentor did, and the shit's fucked.
Yeah. Also missed opportunity to have his mentor be Dr. Pretorius. I'm just saying, like, you know, we want to like tie everything together. That'd be cool.
It's a very good, entertaining movie, but this is also a love letter from Kenneth Branagh to himself.
Yeah, to his ability as a director, I think. Like,
not even that. It's just he's very like, I don't want to say there's a lot of ego in this movie, because I mean there is a fair amount of ego. He's directing and starring in it, right? There's ego involved. He can back it up. He's got the directing chops, he's got the acting chops, but he's just so focused on like me in this movie. And I do like that the central focus of the film is Dr. Frankenstein and his motives and his past. Like, all of that is amazing. It's really great. But, like, why is his shirt off so much?
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, dude. You got a six-pack. But, like...
There's also the scene, like, right in the beginning, where Victor's mother dies.
Yeah.
And Ian Holm is also shirtless. Why?
That one, I guess, kind of makes sense. He's like, his shirt's going to get fucked up or whatever, but he's like sweating and...
But he's like a doctor. Shouldn't he have like a smock or something?
In these days?
Even then, I'm sure they had some.
What was this? 1890?
It was like 17.
Was it 1700?
Yeah.
1780 something?
Yeah. Ooh, pardon me. The beginning, they said this was like 1797 or something like that.
Okay.
And then it went back to like 1773 when he was a kid.
I actually did not love them bookending this in the Arctic.
I mean, it's true to the book.
But yes, but hear me out.
Yeah.
Doesn't really make it a compelling thing for a movie.
True. Yeah.
And like a lot of what happens in this movie is not really bookish.
Well, yeah. I mean, they bookend the movie with scenes from the book.
Yeah.
But change the ending slightly also. Because the ending, like, the monster just gets on an ice floe. It's just like, peace, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Which, like, this is more dramatic. This is more, you know, cinematography, like, based. It's, like, it's more compelling storytelling in a visual medium. But, like, I don't know, man. I like it. I don't want to like. Want to sound like I'm dissing the movie.
Yeah, no, it's going to be hard to because like going back to the sandwich metaphor, you have a fucking solid journeyman ham sandwich in front of you.
Journeyman.
But at the same time, in the original Frankenstein, you have like the best fucking ham ever made. From the best fucking pig ever raised, you know, with like, you know, heaven made cheese and like the best goddamn bread made by like monks who've been making bread, you know, with the same recipe since like the 1500s. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it's just, this is good, but I want to go for the other one. Like,
which brings us to De Niro as the monster. Now I have critique. And I have praise.
Yeah.
The praise is his ability to emote and show us his pain and suffering is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, De Niro can fucking act. Like, whatever else you want to say about the guy, he's a fucking actor. Now, the fact that he cannot act without that fucking accent is what kills me.
Why does the monster sound like he's from Brooklyn? Yeah.
Actually, the Brooklyn accent is the monster.
Yeah.
Well, actually, how do you... let me try that again. How do you know all people from Brooklyn don't talk like monsters?
They are monsters.
They're ancient people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him as the monster. I just wish he could change his voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I even like the setup of the lab. Like it looks
the lab cool. Looked gorgeous. Like
the electric
this
eels
fucking
and
staircase.
Shit. The most dangerous staircase in the world.
I love it.
How many of his ancestors have been killed by that fucking staircase?
The most gothic thing I have ever seen in my fucking life, dude, is when he's carrying Elizabeth up those stairs with the giant fucking giant. Oh my god, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking like Lady Gaga video.
It's so visually stunning, and like the movie visually goes back and forth between this like fucking stunner and a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the famous like thing that makes me think like, oh, this is a made for TV movie is when one scene fades into another.
Yes. Like the scene where it's Henry, Elizabeth and William and Justine and they're out in the field like having a picnic.
Yeah.
That has TV movie written all over it.
Yeah. Also, what the fuck are you doing?
We're all going to sit around this lightning pole. Like, what? Yeah,
it's good. I love watching him devolve into madness. Like it was good.
I don't know if I love Kenneth Branagh as Victor though. Like I don't think he sells like that. Like
madness.
Yeah, yeah. He's too much of a nice guy. Like, you know, I just don't fucking...
Well, I think that's part of it. Like, his madness is based on love for everyone in his family. Like, it's coming through loss. So him, you know, like devising all these ways and you know, creating this monster is basically a love letter to his dead relatives.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to deal with grief. He doesn't know how to properly mourn people. He just wants to bring them back. He wants to stop other people suffering the way he suffers, instead of like the human thing, which is to grieve and move on. He doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So instead of getting that like stupid, like cackling mad scientist, we get a dude who's depraved because of pain.
Mincing dancing boy.
Yeah. I do like that he was not afraid to do like grisly shit in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't see William get killed, but you hear the description. Right. Like, and that's brutal. Like this scene of the childbirth is disturbing, you know, like you feel the panic, like there's blood everywhere. Like Ian Holm is like losing his fucking mind and winds up having to kill his wife to save his son. When the monster kills Elizabeth, tears her fucking heart out.
Yeah.
But even
TJ must be in the house.
But even more than that, smashes her head on the fucking counter and throws her in the fire.
Yeah, that was pretty grisly.
Yeah.
Yeah, shirtless bloody Ian Holm.
Dude.
Shirtless bloody Ian Holm.
No.
Don't do that.
He's got more blood on him than he'd had through all of From Hell, I think.
Yeah. let's see. What else is there to say about this? I mean, it is good as much as we're like kind of shitting on it.
I mean, there's things that I can shit on, but like as a product, you know, all encompassing, I really enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
It's a really dramatic telling of the story that we all know, right? Like it's different enough to make it valuable.
Yeah. At the same time though, I don't know. I mean, I put this on like as a background movie a lot, like when I'm, cause it's on Pluto like all the fucking time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would ever like put this on to watch, you know?
I mean, see, that's a tough one because, like, yes, I do like this movie. I have put it on for my own enjoyment a few times.
Yeah.
But, like, it just going in the same time period, like, it doesn't hold a candle to Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, and it exists because this was, like, a companion piece to that movie.
Yeah.
It's even produced by Coppola.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, like, it didn't have the traction that movie
It doesn't had. Have that just, like, something.
Yeah. And I mean, it looks like it would fit perfectly into that world too.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't like, it doesn't click like Dracula does.
Yeah. I think Dracula has a leg up because it's seductive just by itself. Like the story is seductive, right?
Yeah.
And you've got arguably the best Dracula performance that's ever been on screen with Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Like, how can you fucking beat that? But then you've also got really good supporting cast. Not to say that this doesn't, but this doesn't have the star power that Dracula had.
Yeah.
You know, Keanu was at the height of his power.
Anthony Hopkins.
What's her name?
The girl that everybody loves.
Oh, my God.
Winona Ryder.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I'd Winona Ryder.
Yeah, exactly. Way too much shirtless brawny. Yeah, we said that before you got here. He is unnecessarily shirtless in a lot of this movie.
In Grease.
Why I said that.
Yeah.
It's portrayed by Matthew McConaughey.
I see you got a shirt on. It'd be a lot cooler if you didn't.
Just TJ. TJ already.
The streak continues.
Yeah.
When you think about it, within the span of like less than 10 years, we got remakes of Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Invisible Man. We didn't get fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon in that span.
No.
We got two remakes of The Invisible Man in that time period. Because so we had Memoirs of Invisible Man. That was like 1990.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then
that.
Hollow Man was like 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't forget the Creature from the Black Lagoon and Monster Squad.
That's true.
Him. They remembered him.
I guess Anaconda is what passes for our Creature from the Black Lagoon. Ugh.
The remake.
How dare you?
I saw the trailer. I'll give it a shot.
I won't.
It is very meta. The movie is about them remaking Anaconda the movie.
Ah,
yeah, it's Jack Black and Paul Rudd. Like, it'll be a little funny at least.
It's got the weakest flavor of Tropic Thunder written all over it.
Yeah, big time. Let's see. We got Wolf with Jack Nicholson. We got the Wolf Man too.
Yeah. Well, there's. Yeah, I guess if you're going Wolf Man, yeah.
Yeah.
There's never been a break from werewolf movies.
Good.
Yeah, there's been a break from good werewolf movies.
Good werewolf movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the 90s, there were.
Wolf was good. I liked Wolf.
Did you?
I did.
I don't remember loving it. But I also watched it young, so
yeah,
I think it was more drama.
I had no interest in it when it was out because I was just like too young.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, I watched it. I'm like, all right, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen it in a long time. Oh, God. TJ. No, we should just get together and like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull style, just agree that that movie just doesn't exist. Like an American Werewolf in Paris.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Let that be the one thing that draws society together. Let us all come together and agree.
It could do it. That could be the thing.
That an American Werewolf in Paris.
I don't think
does
so.
Does not exist.
It fucking, there's people that fucking love that movie.
They're idiots, though, and they don't count.
You can't pick stupid.
They got rewarded. We're dealing with that right now.
Yeah. I really like this movie. I think it is a little too drawn out. Like, I don't think there's a shitload that I would like cut from it.
I was just gonna say that was like our third scene of them frolicking and goofing around.
Yeah,
like let's cut some of that shit out. Like,
some of it.
Yeah,
because a lot of it is very important, right?
Our love of War of the Gargantuas.
Ugh, gross. I think a lot of that early drama needs to be there. You know, like
I'm not saying get rid of all the drama.
Yeah. But yeah, they could parse that down a couple of minutes. I think what it is like if you took a couple of minutes from every moment in that movie, you wind up with much tighter storytelling, and like it picks up the pace a little bit because it is a fucking slow burn of a movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Which, big time.
It's fine because it, you know, it justifies it.
This is like our third or fourth dance scene, and here we go again.
Yes.
There is a scene coming up that can also be cut out of the movie. How do brothers and sisters say goodbye?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking.
Which I'll give you different time and adopted, and yeah. They knew it.
Yeah, yeah. Granted, you've got a lot of loopholes to work with. Yeah. Still, you could say that a whole lot better, dude. Fucking.
What are you doing, stepbrother?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, step monster.
Disgusting.
Well, we're degenerates. What do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good makeup. I actually really enjoyed it. If you watch it, you can watch De Niro's like stitches and wounds and stuff. Like they start off fresh and raw, and as the movie progresses, it all starts to heal. like yeah. the stitches come out and like it turns into scarring, which is great because a lot of the times you just like they'll do a makeup and then that's the makeup.
Yeah.
And they don't improve on it. Like it's because it, you know, this movie takes place over years.
Yeah.
So like that shit would all heal up and they thought about it and they were like, okay, well, let's make it look like he's healing. He's still a frightening, disgusting monster, but you know, it is what it is. One thing I don't actually appreciate, and I don't appreciate this about a lot of Frankenstein kind of stuff, is like just the randomness of the scarring and like where things got put. Like,
yeah,
like there was nothing wrong with that guy's head, so that you needed to put a patch of different person's skin over his eye.
Yeah,
you know, like there you had a torso that was full that you didn't need to like diagonally go at. You know, like if you want to do like the center, like a Y incision, you know, like that I understand because you got to get in there and, you know, fuck around with the organs. But just like the weird randomness is like, why did you do that? Like you split his fucking mouth diagonally. Like what's
every like, I don't know, every like interpretation likes to put their spin on the monster. Like,
yeah. You
know? And for some reason, like 90% of people are just attuned to the, you know, green flathead version.
Yeah.
Cause he's awesome mostly, but
yeah. Fucking... And I like that he is not a flatheaded Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah. 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 Do something different with it, but not that different.
That's how it is in their family. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their weird Swiss family. Swiss Family Frankenstein. That should have been the title of the episode.
It will be when we do it next week. The audio version.
I left it. I didn't say anything. If you're watching on Twitch, you'll see that one.
Yeah. Yep. The monster keeps saying this weird, crazy shit.
Yeah, his ear totally recovered.
Though. Yeah. I don't know. I think we can. Unless there's anything else to say,
I don't know. I like
we can move on.
I've been waxing poetically about this fucking movie. Yeah. I just really like it. Like as a study on Frankenstein, I like it. Is it true to the novel? I actually couldn't tell you because I've never read it. From what I hear,
it is pretty.
It's iffy. It's touch and go.
It like it adheres more to the novel than that.
Christ.
That's coming up.
Yeah, than the classic version, the 30s version.
Right.
But it, like I said, it does take liberties. Like the ending changes. Like I don't think he rips Elizabeth. He just strangles everybody. Like he doesn't rip Elizabeth's heart out. I mean, like things change. You know, he doesn't set himself on fire. Shit like that.
Yeah, I'm cool with something, you know, going from this is the source material and, you know, it's great, but we need to change a few things so it makes a dramatic visual telling, you know, because if Frankenstein just kind of strangles everybody, who cares?
Yeah.
You don't really give a shit. I gotta tell you, man, like I gotta touch back on De Niro, like absolutely breaking my fucking heart. When he's turned away from that family.
Yes.
Dude.
After like the grandfather, like
the grandfather brought him in. Cause everybody's like, you know, they don't know who he is. They just know there's somebody out there and they're giving him gifts and thanking him. And he's like working with that family from the outside. So he's like, he's thinking, okay, I'm becoming a part of this family. Like that's all he wants. He wants love. He wants respect.
Yeah.
He's just trying to be a part of something. And then he gets that taste of it when the grandfather brings him in and, you know, is treating him like a person. He's treating him like an equal.
Yeah.
And then somebody shows up and they're crazy afraid of him, obviously just by the way he looks, and they shun him like in a devastating manner.
Yeah, the grandfather really could have helped him out there. Like, hey, no. Like,
well, he was trying.
I didn't notice that he was.
He was telling his son to like stop and all this stuff. But then that next scene where he's in the woods just bawling his eyes out.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel it.
Yeah. That is from the book.
Yeah.
Well.
You can tell how much the time delay is by how long it takes from when you let one loose and then when I get a hydrate.
I gotta tell you, they did a great job making John Cleese not look like John Cleese.
Yeah.
Like, not even close. Because I saw this, was like, is that a Monty Python man? And I looked at it some more, and I was like, no, it's not. It's definitely not. But it looks kind of like him.
Yeah.
No, they prosthetic the shit out of him. And like, in a really great way.
Yeah.
It's not like cartoonish.
Yeah. Yeah, no clue. Yeah, this is also very like right out of Dracula. It looks like the scene where Ben Helsing's teaching.
Oh yeah. Well, because that's how shit was done there. Like, yeah. That's how classes happen.
Still kind of.
Yeah. But nobody's like standing over the fucking, I don't know, abattoir.
Yeah, nobody's performing surgery. Well, yeah, no, they still perform surgery in a theater. Yeah.
Yeah, they still have surgical theaters.
Yes, I'm saying, but like not like this. Like, yeah, it's not different. A balcony. You don't have like fucking some dude doing surgery and Statler and Waldorf are up there fucking egging him on.
I don't know. Grey's Anatomy had that.
Never watched it.
Sure, I've never seen a single episode of that. Never seen a single episode of Law and Order.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, especially like original flavor Law and Order, because we were addicted to television when that was on.
Yeah. I can't watch lawyer shows like other than Matlock. Sorry.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. I just don't give a shit. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do some ratings on this bad boy.
Okay.
Go for it. Take us out.
All right. Overall presentation, they're giving me a version of this story I haven't had before. I love the way it looks. I love a lot of the makeup. The lab was fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's overindulgent. You know, Kenneth Branagh's got his head up his own ass. He's sniffing his farts. So that definitely deducts it. But it's a 7.5.
All right. I thought you were going to go higher.
I was teetering on 8.
Yeah. I think I am a solid 7. Again, it might be a little bit too harsh because visually this movie is beautiful. Like, it could not look perfect. Like, my ideal version of Frankenstein lies somewhere in between this and like the original 30s movie. Like, give me the vibe and mood of the 30s movie with like the production value of this.
Yeah.
And like, that's going to be your perfect Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
This is just not monstery enough for my tastes.
That's realistic. Like, yeah, if you're going in thinking like, this is a Frankenstein movie.
It is, but he shows up, Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. He shows up, you know, the monster shows up like a half hour into the fucking thing.
Yeah. And like, there, it is overindulgent. Like, you know, like I said, we've seen like 3 or 4 dance sequences already. Like,
yeah,
we're good, man. Just like fucking brevity.
Yeah. He's trying to pump as much like art into the thing as he can.
Yeah.
And I respect the game. I respect the game.
No, there's definitely room for art. But like, I think when you're even like telling like a classic story like this, like, you gotta fucking zhuzh it up a little bit for like the masses, you know?
Yeah. That's what I said, man. Like, if you took each section of this movie and cut a couple of minutes out of everything,
yeah,
I think you've got a way better movie.
Yeah, I think so. A little bit more concise, just cut out some of the creepy brother sister love.
They could stop like
vaguely Japanese.
100 feet tall and fighting Baragon.
Yeah, they could have just like stopped with the brother sister part of it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, gone like, you know, I have secretly loved you my entire life. I've never thought of you as a sister, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like we saw the scene with her like coming to live with them as a kid. We know they grew up together. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to fucking make it creepy. Like,
yeah.
We get it. Kenneth Branagh is a sister fucker.
Yeah.
It's okay. Exactly.
He's freaky deaky.
Oh, he got that Alabama freedom.
And again, like it was, you know, the time period. It reminds me of that Whitest Kids You Know sketch. It was like 100 traditional love songs. And it was all like fucking You Are My Daughter Bride. It was all like fucking, you know, like songs from like medieval times about like men marrying their daughters and stuff. Oh God. That show was great.
Not gonna lie, like I kind of hated the Whitest Kids You Know when it was first coming out.
Oh God!
I used and to then watch I went back later. I was like, "Oh fuck!"
Oh, I'm gonna tie you to the radiator and grape you.
One of my favorite bits. All right, I still think we're wrong about this. Okay.
The best thing they ever did was how Lincoln actually got assassinated.
Yes! Stop! Don't hammer me in the butt!
You're breaking my butt!
Breaking my butt! I use that all the time.
Hey, rewind the play!
Acting! Pause the play, I gotta piss!
Never mind, I got a bottle! And that's how Abraham Lincoln really died,
by being hammered in the ass to death.
Oh, and then of course,
listen to the woman, John.
The one thing you should absolutely never say.
I've thought about sharing that bit a lot.
I share the "It's Time for Guillotines" song a lot. Oh God. Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
Listen to the girl, John.
Oh. Shut. What the fuck you say? Shut up, you skinny fat motherfucker. What?
It's the Hitler R&B song
too. Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
We just have a whole show where we just go back and rehash all the best white skits, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. One of them died, right? Like that's why they stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that why they stopped? Or did they stop before?
Yeah, they were done before that, yeah.
But he was still doing stuff. And then he died. So any semblance of it was gone.
Yeah. Goddamn. Oh. No, I do like this movie. And it's one of those movies where I like it when I see it. I'm not going to go for it. I'm not going to like. I'm never really in the mood to watch this.
Yeah. It's not like a comfort movie, but I do like it.
It scratches a particular itch.
Yeah.
That just is not my, you know, daily itch, I guess. They have creams for that. I don't know. It's the same with any kind of artsy version of a movie. You know, like, I thought Mirror Mask was beautiful and fantastically done. And it's gorgeous and the music is amazing. I watched it maybe twice and I'm done with it. You know? What the hell is it? The Island of Lost Children? Like a French, like
oh crazy. yeah,
amazing! I loved it. Like I watched it once.
City of Lost Children.
City of Lost Children.
Yeah.
Fantastic, you know. But like, I don't need to see it again because I had that experience. I'm good with it.
Yeah,
you know. So that's this. You know, like every few years is fine.
Yeah, no, I think we're still waiting on the files from the Island of Lost Children.
Yeah.
From
City of Lost Children, Philadelphia.
Thor, what's up, brother?
Hey.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is one of those movies. Amazing movie. Beautiful movie. Fantastic movie. I saw it. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I imagine The Brutalist is the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a week to kill, so yeah.
Well, they're like the same fucking length, right? Like, they're both like 3 hours flat.
I think The Brutalist was like 3.5, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. There is a fucking... I mean, there's a an intermission in the middle of it. Inception. That's one I can kind of put on. They don't really play it on TV anymore because it looks cool. Like, I can put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to...
Like, the thing with Inception is, like, there's always something visually stunning happening.
Yeah, yeah. Tenet, on the other hand, I will never fucking watch again.
Mm.
Yeah. What Another Christopher it? Nolan movie.
That, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That Christopher Nolan.
He's a wacky Brit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll move on to trivia.
Let's.
Sorry, we got distracted by
Frankenstein.
Pre-Frankenstein De Niro.
Yeah. It's which is cool. I love that he plays that dude who's afraid of the vaccine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen,
all right.
Not getting political.
I bet you do.
All right. Robert De Niro studied stroke victims to get a purchase on speech that is struggling to emerge. Which is fine. Like, he talked out of like the, he pulled a Stallone, right? Talked out of the side of his mouth through most of the movie.
Yeah.
But just happened to be from Brooklyn or whatever. God, that's like, that's such a bummer for me, man. Like, it's such a fucking bummer. This is the Journal of Victor Frankenstein.
But, are you talking to me?
You guys should come see me.
Producer Francis Ford Coppola had originally planned to direct this movie as a companion piece to Dracula, but eventually stepped back to let Sir Kenneth Branagh direct. Coppola later regretted his decision after several disagreements with Branagh during filming. And yeah. Hey, man, like, you stepped back.
Your
he
fault.
Stepped up.
I would have liked to have seen the Coppola version of this.
Yeah. I just wish it, like, I wish that existed, but it wasn't the Frankenstein version of Bram Stoker's Dracula. You know what I mean? Like, give it a different thing.
I mean, I feel like it would have had, you know, it wouldn't have been just like, you know, tacked on to that. I feel like it would have had its own, I feel like it wouldn't have looked much different than what we got. But it just would have been a little bit more like touchier.
I bet it would have had that similar like sheen to it. Because like Bram Stoker's Dracula is a very pretty movie.
Yeah.
This is not like pretty in that sense. Like, this is not like glossy filters and bright colors. This is pretty in the like shot setups and the, you know, the way everything is shaped in this movie.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably like a huge part of what it would have changed. I think I like this better though.
I don't know. I do love the look of Dracula
for sure.
Yeah.
But I have Dracula for that. You know what I mean? That's whatever. Things that will never be.
Yeah.
Veteran horror actor Sir Christopher Lee, who played the creature in Hammer Studios' The Curse of Frankenstein, 1957, was asked at the premiere of this film about the differences between his version and this new adaptation. Lee replied, about 40 years and $40 million.
That's fair.
Yeah. Francis Ford Coppola claims that Mary Shelley's name was included in the title, because he has a tradition of putting the author's name in the titles of the movies that are adapted from novels, such as Mario Puzo's The Godfather, Bram Stoker's Dracula, John Grisham's The Rainmaker.
Yeah.
And others have claimed, however, that Shelley's name was included in the title to avoid legal action from Universal Studios, who claimed to own the rights to the simple title Frankenstein.
Huh.
probably six of one, half a dozen.
They did change the title to just Frankenstein, it looks like.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what that's about.
I don't know. Could be if something went public domain.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The amniotic fluid in which the creature was brought to life was really boiling gelatin. Yeah. During filming, Robert De Niro and Kenneth Branagh slipped and fell in the stuff so much that a huge split appeared in De Niro's prosthetic suit, which had to be avoided by cameras, which sucks because, you know, like hours and hours and hours went into that, both making that fucking suit, and
getting
and,
him into and it,
getting him in it.
Yeah.
You ready to be like absolutely pissed off at the idea of something?
I know the fact you're going fucking. I hope he does this one.
Oh boy!
At one point, Tim Burton was being courted to direct, with Columbia Pictures eyeing Arnold Schwarzenegger as the creature. So if I thought that De Niro had a shit accent for the monster, imagine Arnold.
But would have been region appropriate.
And it'd still be entertaining today.
But it wouldn't have matched anybody else's not Swiss accent.
I'm just saying, I would want to see that movie.
I don't.
But I'd want to see it knowing that I think it was trash.
Yeah. Why is the monster smoking a cigar in this scene?
Why does he keep having sassy one-liners?
Keep hitting on the maid.
Real life deep cut. Hey. Sir Kenneth Branagh was keen to cast Gerard Depardieu as the creature, but Columbia Pictures felt that he would not have a strong enough box office appeal, which is fucking true.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
He's run into some difficulties in the past few years, let's say. Some legal issues.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking acting. Hey, acty.
Yeah. Well, he was acting inappropriately.
Yeah, it's true. Robert De Niro spent 12 hours in the makeup chair for extensive makeup application to transform into the creature.
God damn.
12 hours.
Holy shit.
That's the longest I've ever heard of anybody.
Yeah, that's a day and a half of work just to get ready to start working.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Like, if they want to film at, you know, noon, they start at midnight.
Yeah. That's insane.
Gross. This is going to be our last trivia fact for the evening. The film was nominated for Best Makeup Oscar for Daniel Parker, Paul Englund, and Carol Hemming. But the film lost to Rick Baker, V. Neal, and Yolanda Tusing in 1994. Who do you think won? Oh, well, they won. But what do you think they won for?
Rick Baker, 1994.
Rick Baker, V. Neal, and Yolanda Tusing.
V. Neal.
Throw me that whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Wood.
God Ed Wood damn, yeah.
Won the fucking best makeup Oscar over this.
Bullshit.
It kind of is. Not going to lie. Kind of is.
You know what? I love Rocky Horror, but no. They should have got it.
Rocky Horror?
I don't know why I said that. I meant Ed Wood.
Yeah.
There's another fact about Rocky Horror a couple shots up.
Yeah, no, I love Ed Wood, but yeah, makeup? No, this definitely has better makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do?
You get in there and wrestle around with him.
No. All right. Are you ready for some one-star reviews?
All right.
Did you make the bumper? Oh, you said you were going to.
If you don't, I have an idea for what it can be.
What was it going to be? Oh. What was it supposed to be?
Hated it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Hated it. You got something going?
I don't have something. No.
What's your idea?
My idea was to just do a blend of different songs that had stars. So I even in the quote for the thing I did said, "No more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars." Well, stars.
No.
Yeah, like I hated it.
Well, I now win. That I remember we had something, that's
yeah.
better. That's
I win. Yeah. Well, I thought of that last week.
Oh, I wasn't here.
Well, it's not my fault. What was your fault?
Tell old ladies to stop aging, all right?
All right. Hollywood's Frankenstein. Some spoilers.
Oh, wait.
What?
Bia!
Oh, God.
Oh.
That was supposed to help your memory somehow.
Mm. It does the opposite of that. I have absolutely no clue why it was allowed for this movie to be called Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. If you go read the book, you will realize how incredibly inferior this movie is to the actual text. Robert De Niro, you say? Don't be fooled. His character barely speaks. In the novel, the creature is very eloquent when he speaks to Victor. In the movie, he can barely move his lips. Also, the character of Victor in the movie shows nothing of the internal struggle that goes on in the novel. He is made into a half-Hollywood hero. When the creature comes to life, he goes chasing after it with an axe. LOL. And that is just a small example of how this movie does no justice to the novel. If you have read the book and you are expecting to see a recreation, see it recreated for the screen, you are badly mistaken. If you, on the other hand, want to see a typical Hollywood movie, go for it.
Are we just watching a completely different movie somehow?
We are watching Zero Dark Thirty now, yeah.
That would be confusing if you look up expecting to see Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I don't remember Frankenstein deploying to Kandahar.
Although, again, I'd probably watch that movie.
Yeah, All Monsters Attack is horrible, Thor. Sorry.
Yeah, it's bad. What I don't like about this review is that their review is based on the book, not the movie you're watching.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is nothing like the source material. Okay, but how about you watch the movie as a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, in Frankenstein land.
Yeah.
He's got a shirt on.
Awful. Just awful. Which I think is a title of 1,000 one-star reviews. Yeah. Awful. Just awful. This was the first Frankenstein movie I've ever watched. And lucky me, I got to see the one directed by the most egomaniacal, overacting, ugly, and untalented man that England has ever produced. That's right, Mr. Branagh. It's Sir Branagh.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with all of that except ugly and untalented. He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
He's got some acting chops. Just not in this one for some reason.
Yeah. Ever noticed how he plays the lead in all of his movies? And since he couldn't play Othello for obvious reasons, he played Iago. That aside, the movie lacked in many other areas. Pieces of the plot, for instance, must have run away when they saw the director. It's like he tried to squeeze the entire well-developed novel, and it's questionable as to whether the novel is well-developed at all, into a two-hour movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this classic work of art that everybody's agreed on for hundreds of years. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
And the melodrama. It was almost as if I was watching a soap opera. Too much of the cliche, as God is my witness, I'll never let another human die again. People talking to themselves, reading out loud as they're writing letters, lack of narration. That is narration.
That's so hypocritical. Like, what?
There's no narration, but then out of nowhere, there's just somebody talking. Yeah.
These are all very amateur directorial choices. I can't think of a way to get the plot across, so I'll have my characters just say it out loud. Very, very poor. So between Kenneth Branagh's ugly mug, plot holes, and horribly acted melodrama, this movie is a big loser. At least I didn't pay for it. It came on cable.
Look at what TJ said. Russell Brandt wrote that review.
You cannot be fucking serious here.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's way too many words for I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
I don't know how movies work.
Yeah.
How else are we going to know what the fuck is in the letter that they're writing to each other? Because they can't talk to each other.
You just see a guy writing on screen.
You just want it
today.
You just want it. You just like want it on screen, like the letter.
I hate when they do that with the texts when people are texting and they do the text chat bubbles.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather have the overarching narration thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep. Pathetic version of a great plot. This film obviously has no understanding of the original plot, which is still current and worthy of discussion today. This person, insufferable. I fucking know it.
I guarantee you this person is also writing their review based on the first movie. I get that vibe big time.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
But the persons responsible did see Bride of Frankenstein and managed to screw up that plot as well when they tried to incorporate it into this film. The Mel Brooks film has more respect for Mary Shelley than this disaster. No, that movie was based on mostly the third fucking movie.
Yeah.
No wonder a discount chain sold this to me for $5.50. It wasn't worth it, even at that price. The concept of putting together body parts is a contemporary consideration because we are now able to achieve this. The fact that this was written so long ago, parentheses, by a woman who was challenged by her husband and a friend to see who could write the best horror story, should give it the historic respect it deserves. This film ignores the historic significance and current relevance of Mary Shelley's work. No?
Yeah. Okay. I want to sound smart.
The original book was about, like, taking body parts and changing them. And we can do that now because people have like detached limbs and we can, you know, put like monkey hearts in people and shit like that. Yeah. Like this guy who creates a fucking monster out of body parts and then brings somebody else back from the dead too. He does it fucking twice. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And the bride part actually is from the book. He just doesn't finish because he gets like so fucking like distraught about it. He's like, I can't fucking do this. Like,
That's a person who's professionally upset.
Yeah.
I love the title of this one though. Why does Kenneth Branagh keep doing this?
He is notably shirtless right now. So.
Very.
Next to this giant thing made of sewn together bladders.
And electric eels.
Yeah.
Dude, I fucking love this lab. I love it.
Really cool, yeah.
It's so good.
Getting dick slapped by electric eels.
And I love that they take the lightning storm out of it, you know, for this part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's fucking great. But anyway, why does Kenneth Branagh keep doing this? This is such a bad movie. Why does Kenneth Branagh keep doing this? He's very gifted, but it seems to take things too far. And this is a prime example. I couldn't watch the whole thing. At first, it was like watching a proverbial train wreck. But then I started telling myself that my time was worth more than this. My goal was to plug through it and ended up writing this instead. And it was nominated? I wonder by whom.
The Academy.
The Academy.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Hey, I'm going to write a 1-star review for this movie I didn't watch all of.
Yeah.
Dude, that immediately discounts your review. I'm sorry. You can still say I didn't like what I watched.
I didn't like what I saw. Yeah. That's great.
I can't rate the whole movie.
Yep. Now eat dicks.
Yeah. You dick eater. Get it out. Shake it out.
All right. You ready to move on to Better Known As?
Let us move on to the Better Known As.
I knew you.
All right, let us start off with director/star Kenneth Branagh. He's probably just best known for being fucking Kenneth Branagh, Shakespearean actor and director.
Not anymore, he's not.
Actually, no, yeah.
Not anymore, he's not.
He's Hercule Poirot. Murder on the Orient Express.
And Gilderoy Lockhart.
That's the one.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We'll get there. Gilderoy Lockhart, of course.
I forgot he was Perot.
Yeah.
He's good as Perot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in a ton of shit. Has a bunch of stuff upcoming. He's in Devil Wears Prada 2. Looks like they're remaking the Thomas Crown Affair again.
Oh.
I think Michael B. Jordan is in that. It's 2027.
What, are they just going to, like, every 30 years make the Thomas Crown Affair?
Pretty much, yeah. He was in Oppenheimer as physicist Niels Bohr. And, of course, the Hercule Poirot movies, A Haunting in Venice.
That one wasn't good.
Yeah, no, I did not enjoy. They do, like, decrease in enjoyability as you go through the trilogy.
See, that's the only one I've seen so far. It was okay.
Death on the Nile was great.
Yeah.
So that's what I got to do.
Murder on the Orient Express is really great. Death on the Nile was pretty good.
See, I'm going to go backwards. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to watch that. Oh, this is such an improvement.
Yeah. He was also in Tenet. I was just joking before. I didn't remember he was in it because I will never watch that fucking movie again. What else? Murder on the Orient Express. He's in Dunkirk. He was in the Jack Ryan. Oh, that was a movie. Jack Ryan movie, 2014. Macbeth, 2013. He's in Valkyrie with Tom Cruise, 2008. And, of course, Gilderoy Lockhart, Harry Potter, and the Chamber of Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Shakespeare stuff, of course.
Yeah.
Love's Labor Lost, Wild Wild West, famous Shakespeare story.
great movie.
He's the bad guy in that. I forgot. The sawed in half bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Gingerbread Man with, what's his name, Robert? Tom Hagen.
You want help or you want to just work through this?
Yeah. The fuck is his name?
Robert Downey Jr.?
No.
No?
He's in The Godfather. He's in...
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just looking at Robert's in that movie.
So. Yeah. we mentioned before...
There's a couple.
He's in Othello. Notably not as Othello. Although it would have been great if he did like a Robert Downey Jr.
No.
Not unless it was tongue-in-cheek like that.
Yeah. I don't bring character to the DVD commentary.
I love that movie.
Oh,
God. I was thinking about that movie today.
That is like, a fucking classic.
Yeah.
That's our generation's
Blazing Saddles. Yeah.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean?
So good.
Get some crawfish out of the patty, y'all.
I'm a land farmer, motherfucker. Yes. Every line of that movie is so fun.
And the fact that people don't, most people do, but there are people who don't understand that Robert Downey Jr. is not doing blackface.
Yeah.
He's playing a person who thinks it's okay to do blackface.
To make fun of the idea of it being okay.
It's called
satire.
Yeah.
Get him up on that cloven hoof animal.
You're ground, Thomas.
Feeling fluish.
It's 400 years. Shit, another movie we can just talk about.
Yeah.
Just give him a can of Alpa's ass water.
Alpa Chino. I forgot that was his name.
Oh,
Alpa Chino. God, smell like asparagus, doesn't it?
Forrest Gump, yeah, lovable.
You never go full.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say it.
Slow? Sure.
And we're
retired war heroes.
Oh my god. We're so killed, bro.
We lost our
the whole the plot is lost. It's over.
Kenneth Branagh in Othello. Where the white women at? That was from Othello, right?
It could have been. I saw O.
He was in Much Ado About Nothing in 1993.
Yeah, because that's what we needed more of. That's actually the first place I ever saw him was Much Ado About Nothing.
All right.
As someone who is, I love Shakespearean plays, I actually really enjoyed that.
I do remember watching that.
Like, he played Benny Dick.
Bean Dick.
That's worse.
Give me that old Bean Dick.
Oh, well, hell, that ain't retarded. Henry V. We watched that in England.
I did not.
Yeah, there's a fucking awesome ass battle scene in that. We're gonna fucking just move on. He's in Chariots of Fire.
Goddamn.
1981.
A running movie.
Oh, God. Robert De Niro played Frankenstein in this movie. Played Frankenstein's monster, sorry, in this movie.
No.
He's not even credited as that.
Sharp-featured man.
Yeah. Sharp-featured man.
Sharp-featured man. I mean, you know who Robert De Niro is if you've seen like any movie
before. If you've watched movies.
If you've seen this show, you've heard us quote at least Goodfellas before.
Oh, like, fuck yeah.
Is known for... Cape Fear, all right, yeah, fucking Raging Bull, fucking legendary, Taxi Driver, fuck yeah. The Irishman?
It's a recent one?
It's a good movie, but, like, you're not going to put, like, Goodfellas in there? Or like
Casino?
Yeah, Casino.
I genuinely think they were just going for recency.
Yeah.
And high rating, you know?
Yeah.
Even
Meet the Fockers.
Oh, well, yeah, you meet the Parents. Or Meet the Parents, first yeah. one, yeah. They do have another one coming out.
God.
Yeah, they're
one was good. Like, I'm set at one of those.
We didn't
movies.
Need more than that. The man has done some paycheck movies for sure. Mm-hmm. The Alto Knights being one of those that was this year.
I didn't see that as a paycheck movie.
That like got like it fucking flopped hard.
Yes, but just because it wasn't that great, like the execution wasn't phenomenal. Like the man had to play two fucking parts,
in
full makeup. Like I don't think he was doing that for the paycheck.
True. Killers of the Flower Moon, that was fucking good.
Speaking of like amazing movies that I'm good on,
yeah, I saw it once. I'm good.
I'm so glad that I saw it.
Yeah,
one time.
Let's see. He was in Amsterdam, 2022. Okay. I don't remember that. The Irishman. He's in Joker, 2019. Mm-hmm. That's another movie. Like, saw it. I'm kind of good. It really bummed me. Like, it's a great movie. Bummed me the fuck out.
Yeah, I might. It took me forever to see it the first time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe give me another 10 years. I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not
I
exactly definitely, a pick me up.
Definitely don't want to watch the second one.
You don't need to.
Yeah. Zero interest. Yeah.
Yeah. No, just leave it at the first one. Let's see. Dirty Grandpa. We're only in the 2013s. We're going to move on because you know who De Niro is. Fucking analyze this. Fucking, like we said, Goodfellas. You know who fucking De Niro is, Taxi Driver. Yeah. You know,
Godfather Part Two,
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh. Ouch.
Correct. But fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, I remember this one.
Yep. Nice. Tom Hulce. He was Frankenstein's homie, Henry.
Yep.
I did not realize. He's the dude from Amadeus who played Mozart.
You mean Amadeus?
Yeah. He is also fucking Kroger from Animal House.
Oh, Jesus.
Fucking the dude with like the devil and the angel on his shoulders. Like,
yeah.
Hooks up with like the 15-year-old girl or whatever.
What?
Yeah. he was also the voice of the Hunchback of Notre Dame for Disney. That was 1996.
Is he dead? Or did he quit?
No, he's just not working.
I wonder if he moved on to like a different department.
He might just, I don't know. He just wasn't in like a ton of shit. He is in like some legendary shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Aside
from Amadeus.
he shows up in an episode of Frasier. He's in Fearless with Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Parenthood. Amadeus, we mentioned, Animal House. And that's really it for the notable stuff. Moving on, Helena Bonham Carter. Again, another actress. You just know her like as the weird girl in a lot of fucking movies.
Yeah.
Like, be it Fight Club, be it Bellatrix Lestrange, you know, Sweeney Todd. You've seen her in something, and she's notably emo in it.
Yeah. Well, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, what was it? Yeah, it was Fight Club. Where she goes, I've been fucked like that since grade school.
Yeah.
What?
Great quote. But also horrifying.
Let's see. She was Princess Margaret in The Crown. She's in the Enola Holmes movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? I like those.
I saw the first one. It was okay. I didn't see the second one.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. Both fine.
She was in The Lone Ranger in 2013.
Mm. Yeah. Didn't need to say that.
How in the fucking hell does the Tim Burton Dark Shadows movie have a 6.2 rating?
Because people love Tim Burton no matter what he does.
No, they don't know anything about Dark Shadows. So they don't know how much that pissed on Dark Shadows.
That movie is garbage.
I know that Dark Shadows is a vampire soap opera from England. Never really seen it. I know that movie sucks.
Yeah, it's not a wacky comedy.
Like, well, yeah, but if you didn't know anything about it, you might come into it thinking it's a wacky comedy and be okay with giving it like a 6.
Yeah, my introduction to Dark Shadows was the '90s remake, and like I used to watch that with my family. Like it was because like both my parents watched the original one, so like we're fucking watching this. Like,
oh shit, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And like I was into it, and fucking yeah, it got canceled after like one season, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, like I want the vampire soap opera, goddammit. Like,
I remember walking past the fucking VHS collections at the video store.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, my dad.
There were a thousand of them.
Yeah, he's like, I used to come home from school and watch it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna move on because we are again familiar with Helena Bonham Carter. Oh, she was Corpse Bride also in Corpse Bride.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's Mom in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yep.
Ian Holm, who we have talked about before.
Yeah.
He is...
A couple of times, I think.
Not Bishop, but what's his fuck? Yeah.
No, he's...
Ash. Yeah. But he is, of course, Bilbo Baggins.
Mm-hmm.
He was Skinner in Ratatouille. I didn't realize that. The villain...
Oh shit!
Yeah. He again, you know, just classic, legendary actor. He's in The Fifth Element, The Aviator.
He did a Frankenstein thing where he played the monster and Dr. Frankenstein.
Really?
I think it was like an episode of a TV show or something.
Huh? I thought he was like a tiny little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Hell. We mentioned that before.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was a cool movie.
And that comic book is so fucking good.
Yeah, I never read that. Was drawn with ballpoint pen, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't think it was ballpoint pen, but it's just like a pen and ink.
Yeah. Not pretty sure it was ballpoint. Like, I am almost positive.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. We mentioned The Fifth Element. Of course, he's in Frankenstein. I feel like I'm forgetting like a notable movie that he was in. Oh, Brazil, he's in.
I've never actually seen Brazil.
Same here. I've seen like bits and pieces. I've never seen the whole thing.
Yeah. The Terry Gilliam.
Right? Yeah. Gray Stoke, The Legend of Tarzan. Alien, of course. That's probably what I was thinking of. Alien, the second best Xenomorph movie. all right. We're going to move on from there. Yeah. Up next, we have John Cleese, another classic fucking legend of an actor, you know, best known for Monty Python.
Yeah.
I mean, he's another, you just know him, like he's been in something that you love.
He's the dude from Monty Python with the voice you recognize.
Yeah.
he's in James Bond.
Yeah, you know? He was Q in the later Pierce Brosnan, James Bond movies. He did ginger ale commercials for Schweppes, like in the
80s. Oh my God, yeah. I forgot about those.
And he was the headless Nick the headless knight.
Yes.
In Harry Potter.
Nearly headless Nick.
Nearly headless Nick.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's got a lot of Harry Potter folk in this movie.
You know how incestuous Hollywood is.
Yeah. He did a lot of voice acting for like the Elder Scrolls and like Skyrim and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Winnie the Pooh shows up as himself in Entourage. The Pink Panther 2, the one with Steve Martin. Hamburger!
Sorry. That was made.
That's what it's there for.
He was in one of arguably the worst James Bond movies, Die Another Day. Easily the worst James Bond song, I'm going to say. The Madonna one. Madonna techno song. I have
to
listen
to them all again to be sure.
Yeah.
But it's definitely on the bottom three.
Yeah, it's no Goldfinger, that's for sure.
Yeah. Goldfinger is a fucking bop. All right. Live and Let Die is the one.
Live and Let Die is up there for me. View to a Kill is up there for me. I have a soft spot for Duran Duran. I don't know why. Live and Let Die. The World Is Not Enough is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's a good song.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Skyfall. Skyfall was fucking.
Oh yeah, Skyfall.
Yeah,
Man with the Golden Gun is an awesome one.
There's bangers.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then there's.
Yeah, and then there's fucking Die Another Day.
There was one. There was a sort of recent one that was like trash too.
Who did the most recent one? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
I like the Jack White, Alicia Keys one. I like the Chris Cornell one.
No Time to Die is Billie Eilish.
That might have been the one.
It was okay. It was just forgettable. Oh, it was the Sam Smith one from, was it Quantum of Solace? That one I really didn't like.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
John Cleese.
Oh, the magic pudding.
What's really weird is that the Sam Smith song is not named after the movie.
What movie was it from? Was it from?
No, it's from Spectre.
But that's right.
The name of the song is Writings on the Wall.
Yeah, that one I really didn't like.
Uncommon. Yeah. In fact, it may be the only one where it's not actually named the name of the movie.
No. All Time High is from... Fuck. What movie was it?
I could do
Octopussy?
I could do a whole show on James Bond. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm 100% down.
James Bond show?
Yeah. Fucking absolutely. I have
all of them on Blu-ray.
We can get Tom in on that. I literally have all of the books from my high school, the James Bond books.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because Amanda was a librarian at my high school like recently, and they were getting rid of all of them.
Yeah,
like these were the James Bond books. Like when I had when I was in high school. Fucking
sick.
Yeah, we're gonna move on because we know who John Cleese is.
Yeah,
Last up, Robert Hardy was in this movie. Another Harry Potter alumni. He is Cornelius Fudge.
Oh, yeah.
In the Harry Potter movies. Aside from that, that might be it as far as the stuff we would be familiar with. Let's just say
who was he in this?
He was
Professor Krimp.
That one.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah.
And he was like the dude with like
the, he was the anatomy curly wig. Professor. Yeah.
Oh,
he's in the Tenth Kingdom. That's awesome.
All right, he was in the '90s Gulliver's Travels. It was like an NBC miniseries.
Thunderpants.
Ted Danson.
Yeah, I think it was Ted Danson. Yeah. Sense and Sensibility. A lot of fucking Shakespeare actors in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna move on from where we're gonna end up because this is the last one.
Yeah.
Was there? I thought there was like a wacky name. Maybe not. We're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
It's fine.
Wrapping it up. Heading on to the crapshoot. Saw some stuff this week.
Yeah. Movies or traumas?
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck did I see Thursday? Last night, what the fuck did I see last night?
Jesus Christ. You need to start taking notes.
Oh, I saw Shelby Oaks Thursday night for Thor's show.
Okay.
It was okay. It was pretty good. It was, like a mix of like found footage and like, you know, movie ass movie.
Okay.
Not without its flaws. Like, you know, could have tightened some things up here and there. Could have changed a little thing, you know, some things. But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
The fuck did I see on Thursday night? Oh no, that's what I saw. Last night I saw the Springsteen movie.
Oh, how is it?
It's pretty good.
Okay, here's my thing. I like Springsteen. You know, obviously, same as Bob Dylan, understand the cultural importance. Not my favorite.
You ever listen to Nebraska?
No.
I think you would like Nebraska a whole lot.
I probably would.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably would. It's just like the, I don't know, it was like, oh, he's the boss. The boss. Like, you might as well just say Dave, you know?
Yeah. Give Nebraska a listen. It's okay. Him, a guitar, and that's it.
Okay.
Like
I don't turn off his music if it comes on.
Yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah. It like the movie, like I wish it was a little bit more focused because it's like it starts off like the first 75% of it is about him like wanting to make Nebraska. Like he's known for being this big rock star.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that's not what I want to do right now. Like this is just something I have to say. Like this is what I want to do right now.
Album or movie or song?
Album.
Okay.
Album. So it's mostly about like just him like fighting with the record company to get it made, like,
yeah,
and then like the last quarter of it like just changes focus and it's about him like dealing with depression and stuff, which like, all right, that's fine, why didn't you deal with like, you know, weave that in throughout the whole movie, like,
yeah,
you know, like tie these two things together, because like it's almost just like they just stopped talking about the album at some point and then it's just about him being depressed. But then, like, at the end of the movie, it's like, well, Nebraska came out on this date and sold, you know, went to number three without, like, you know, promotion or anything. Like, so, I don't know. It was just fucking weird how they
just
did that.
Like, disjointed.
Yeah, yeah. They're
basically telling two stories, but could have combined them into one.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, they just did a bad job of, like, integrating these two connected events. Because it's about the album, you know, you kind of come to realize it's about him dealing with all of the shit from his childhood, like with his father and stuff and like, you know, depression and all that. Like,
yeah,
great. I'm all about all that. Like, but just fucking focus it a little more.
Yeah. I do like Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah. No, he's great at it. He's awesome as Bruce Springsteen. It was good. Definitely good. I wanted to listen to Atlantic City like since I saw the movie.
Oh yeah.
That is one of his, I mean, that's one of the best songs on an album, of course, but one of his best songs, I think, like all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I started watching Bring It On the other night.
That's
yeah.
watched that a lot.
Well, I was scolded because I don't think I've seen the whole thing. So I was like, we're going to watch this.
Yeah.
And we wound up watching like half an hour of it. I was enjoying what I was seeing. It was funny.
Yeah, it was just a movie you pretended to like in the early 2000s to hang out with chicks.
And then before watching Frankenstein yesterday, we were watching Bridesmaids, which was a lot funnier than I remember it being. Yeah. But it's still also just like train wreck humor, which is not my thing. Like the Steve Carell school of comedy is just like not what I go for.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Did I see anything else? I don't think so. No, it's been very low key.
Yeah. I finished the Charlie Sheen documentary again.
Dude
is just lovable, and like I'm rooting for the guy. Like, you know,
crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, man,
there we go. Hey, and we are back. Sorry about that, folks.
I broke it.
It was Art's fault. Yeah, Art did it.
No, I did. That is definitely on me.
Yep. It's fine.
We're back. We were talking about Springsteen. It was good.
Yeah.
Give Nebraska a listen. I can almost guarantee you will love that album.
I imagine it's like his more like folksy kind of album, right?
It's very like channeling, old school country. Like,
channeling kind of a Woody Guthrie kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great album to sit alone and get drunk to.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been reading Richard Pryor's autobiography.
Which one? I think he's got a couple.
Pryor Convictions, it's called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Yeah.
That dude had a fucked up life.
Yes.
Yes.
And he medicated his pain with crack.
Lots of drugs. Yeah. I am like tearing through that one. That's a pretty easy read. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Really enjoying that. I have they call me Baba Booey up next to read.
Oh God. That's probably crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is the most hostile, toxic workplace environment that ever existed.
Yeah. And his mom was like apparently super fucking crazy too. So like,
oh, really?
It's a lot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to reading that. Picked up some comics, started reading the new Invisible Man. I think I told you about that last week.
Yes.
I missed issue 2, so I have to fucking find that like online and order it.
I imagine that's not difficult.
Yeah, no, it's just fucking a pain in the ass. So I have 1 and 3. All good?
Yeah.
Okay.
You keep going.
All right.
More about me.
Anything else? Might be it.
I've been trying to work my way through Critical Role season 3. And it's good. It's entertaining. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to have earbuds in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably a safety thing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If something goes like kind of crazy at my job, I could die. That's kind of it, really. I could definitely come home in a box. It's bad. But yeah, it's season 3 of Critical Role. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of it.
I haven't. I mean, I'm familiar. I've listened to like Nerd Poker a little bit. Like, so I know.
Okay. Yeah. Watch the show, the cartoon on Amazon. It's really good.
All right.
Yeah, it's just super good. Like they're really good players. They really get into their characters, but I'm excited to finish it because Brennan Lee Mulligan is the DM in campaign four. He's the guy from Dimension 20. You've probably seen him doing like all kinds of pop culture Jeopardy style fucking shows.
Okay.
He just mega nerd, but he's really creative and fun. And I'm interested in having like a different spin. Are you done?
I'm good.
Okay.
We're creating art over here, you realize, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you guys are great.
Yeah. But I'm just really interested in seeing like the different spin that he can bring to the show. But I have, I don't know, 100+ episodes to listen to like 3 hours a rip.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's D&D, dog.
Yeah.
So I just listen to it in the car now.
I just got delivered. I bought this a while ago. I pre-ordered it from a Godzilla store. I bought the two starter decks that are out and an expansion pack for the Godzilla card game.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Don't even talk to me.
Why is that?
Fucking because I don't want to spend money on that.
Yeah.
I want to be involved, but I'm not giving them my money.
Yeah.
An all free, all digital version.
Yeah. I'm all about that action.
Arena, you know?
I bought those. I bought the inner sleeves. I bought the outer sleeves. I bought a special case. Like, yeah, I'm like 200 into the Godzilla game right now.
So he's this close to going to Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
They had a monsters based thing and a universal. It was
one of their secret layers.
There's a Marvel one coming out.
Spider-Man specifically.
They did.
Hold on. They did a Marvel one. Now they're doing a specifically Spider-Man one.
Right. All right.
But they've also done a SpongeBob one. They just recently did a.
Listen, they know what they're doing.
I believe it's a Bull and Bee like magic card.
Fallout one. Yeah, but that's not like
official. Yeah. Speaking of,
see me hovering here. Do you see what I'm doing now?
Yeah. You not only should you can. It doesn't make any sense.
What?
You can and should is what I was trying to
say.
That's the way. That's how
words go together.
Clear your schedule for Friday night because, well, not only do we have the delicious code for mead right there scrolling across the bottom of your screen. Use code MONSTERMEAD at thebullandbee.com for $5 off of your online order. But clear your Friday night because we're partying this week.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes. We have some fabulous prizes right here. I'm not going to show you.
They're right there.
They're right here.
You can almost see them. They're really good.
There's like the edge of a box. That's right here, maybe. Yeah. It's some cool shit. I'm not going to lie. We'll be giving away some prizes for the costume contest.
Yep.
Maybe trivia. Let's see how. I am more about just hanging out and having a good time.
Same.
Yeah. So same. I think we're good with just the costume contest. But we'll see. We'll see how things go. We might get a little saucy.
We're definitely going to get saucy.
Yeah.
Bring some trivia in case we decide that's easier.
We're at least getting sauced.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Bridget proposed drunk and disorderly afterwards. I don't know if that'll
happen. It's definitely play by ear.
Yeah.
Not for me because I have to leave.
I assumed you were out. Yeah. It's going to be a long ass day, dog.
Well, it'll be a long ass day. It'll be super rad and fun all day.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah.
But I have to go to a wedding Saturday.
Ooh.
No, it's fun. It'll be fine. Right.
Sure, if you say so.
It's Drunk Frankenstein's wedding.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
The East Wing was trash anyway. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Possibly drunk and disorderly, but like I said, I got to work that day. We got to host.
You can do it.
Oh, I can. Look, we're still recovering from the marathon stream we did with Thor on Saturday night. I might still be streaming for all I know.
Rude.
But yeah, no, that's this Friday night, the bride of Big Dumb Monster Mash.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's the Bull and Bee, Albany, New York. on Hamilton Street.
Here's the thing. Great place. Great people that are in that place.
Yeah.
Great product.
They are apparently making a Big Dumb Monsters mead for the occasion.
Are they really?
So says the Facebook ad that they put up today.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's the one that you
would suggest. Oh, the Ecto Cooler?
Truly
it could be that one. Yeah. So, yeah. Not only are you going to get some delicious mead, you're going to get some delicious Big Dumb Monster branded mead from our friends.
Amazing.
Bull and D.
They're so good to us.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Shout out to Alex and Ray and everybody down there. We should have some, I should have some folks coming for that, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's all we got for right now.
That's it. That's enough.
We'll throw some regular plugs at you.
Yeah. Well, how about we start with this? Our website is www.bigdumbmonsters.com. We have an email address. I don't know if you knew that. I knew that. You should know that. If you have suggestions for the show, movies we should watch, beer we should drink, if you can think of improvements for the show, we would love to hear them. You want to work with us, you want to work for us, you want us to read ads for you, anything.
We're here.
We do panels, we do trivia, we hang out and make asses of ourselves and make you look good. Email us, bigdumbmonsters@gmail.com. You can find us on Slasher, the all-horror social network. That's a great place to be. We are Big Dumb Monsters Podcast on there, and you can find us sometimes, occasionally, not very often, signed into our Steam account, which is Big Dumb Monsters.
You should check us out on social media, on Instagram and Threads, @big_dumb_monsters. We've been streaming this show live on Instagram for the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're going to keep that up. No thanks to Streamlabs.
Yeah. what was it you said? Get your fucking house in order.
Yeah, get your house in order. You should watch this show as it streams live every week. Oh, did you just notice that?
Yeah.
I bought that at the Nightmare Market last week.
It's fun.
That was there. Yeah. $20. Where were we? The stream. The stream. Live stream. You should be watching, yeah.
Your weekend stream.
For a strong, manly stream, tune in every Monday night at 7:45. Lomax stream, we'll say. Every Monday night at 7:45 on YouTube and Twitch at Big Dumb Monsters. You should go to our merch store at TeePublic. We have a new design up, as I put up yesterday. It's going to be on sale, I think, until tonight or tomorrow. It's the Frenchie LaLoupe one.
Yeah. Frenchie LaLoupe.
The French werewolf poop. Frenchie LaLoupe. It is up for sale. I think you can get a t-shirt for like $16.
Fantastic.
That is at tpublic.com. You can just search for the Big Dumb Monster store. You can find us on Facebook. We are just Big Dumb Monsters on Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got.
That's it.
That is it.
You ready for some words of advice?
Oh, yeah.
Wisdom.
Advice, wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom. Wisdom. I don't know.
Prepare to be wizened.
Yeah.
Don't let ghoulies eat your ass.
And never sleep in a deathbed.
Bye.